I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of the prophet, but I prophesy one of these Sunday mornings there's going to be a 42 pile up of cars here on Leo Lane. Everybody's trying to rush here and get here right at the last minute and everything, and so there's going to be a massive traffic jam there, but I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here early and everything. Let's get started. We got about 8 classes to cover 24 chapters, beginning the study of the book of Judges today, and I'm glad that you're here, and I know that it's not quite April, but it's easier to put, instead of March the 31st to June, the whatever, however far this last class goes, it's easier to put on the board April and May and leave out the other times. Here's where we are, Book of Judges. Let me ask you this. When you think of a judge in your mind, what do you see? You see what? Yes, Supreme Court. When you see a judge, when I say the word judge, what do you think? You think of Judge Judy? Is that who you're thinking of? You know, that kind of judge. You need to understand that the law needed application. And there were things that where the law of God that's given in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy did not deal with specific situations. And you may recall how Moses was so busy when they first left the land of Egypt. And his father-in-law, anybody remember his father-in-law's name? I think the father-in-law had a brother named Homer. You've heard of Homer and Jethro. Okay, all right, his father's name was Jethro. I thought we had some old country western folks here, you know, to remember Homer and Jethro, that group that was on the Grand Ole Opry years ago. But it was Jethro came to Moses and said, listen, you're killing yourself. And what you need to do is point some individuals to deal with lesser matters. And so there were judges who judged on the lowest level of a court system. And there were judges over 50 individuals. There were judges over 100. And then I think even judges over 1,000. And the heavier matters came all the way up to Moses. Now then, they're headed to the promised land. And God needs to have that, or the Israel needs to have that same kind of leadership, that same kind of ability. So when we talk about the judges, you need to understand that they were usually spiritually minded people who made judgments about the law. That's why they're called judges. But the work that they do is far different from the work of judges. The important work they do in the book of Judges is far different from that. They were deliverers. When the Israel did wrong, God turned against them. The nation started winning battles, and so they had to have somebody to deliver them. So let's just go ahead and get to a time frame for the book of Judges. Let's talk about the Israel leaving the land of Egypt. How old was Moses whenever he killed the Egyptian? How old was he when he killed the Egyptian? He was 40. How old was he whenever he came back, having been at the burning bush and led the Jews out of the land? 80. How old was he when he died? 120. I love 40, 40, 40. Harold Pack used to say, anytime Dan starts a question, how many, just shout out 40 or shout out 7, and you'll always be right. But I'm glad for that division. Isn't that a great way to think about Moses? Moses as an individual, you know, for the first 40 years of his life, shepherding sheep. The next 40 years out in the wilderness, whenever he was leading the Jews toward the promised land, he was shepherding goats. Goats are on the left hand, are they not? And that's kind of problems that he had. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was not pleasant. Sheep are a whole lot more easy to deal with than that nation of perhaps 6 million Jews. And then he was in that wilderness for 40, that's his third 40 years. And so that's what's happening while he's out there dealing with all of these Israelites. And so we need to think about him in relationship to that. 40 years before, you know, in Pharaoh's house, 40 years taking care of sheep, and then 40 years taking care of God's rebellious sheep. It's a good way to think of it, all right? Moses lives 120 years. Who takes Moses' place? Joshua. How long, and don't put it on the screen yet, let's see if anybody knows, how long did Joshua live? Close to 120, didn't quite make it. He lived to be 110 years. Now, I'm saying all of this to help us get a time frame reference. The book of Genesis covers 2,500 years. If you know Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph, you know the book of Genesis. Now, you've got to know all of the stories connected with Adam and stories connected with Noah and Abraham and Jacob and Joseph. I mean, I left out Isaac. He's in the book of Genesis, but he's sort of a transitional if you start looking at the number of chapters devoted. That's 2,500 years. Now, what I did to try to remember that, I made an acrostic out of the first letter of those names. A-N-A is Anna. Adam, Noah, Abraham. This, you may think I'm insane, and I think I am much of the time, but I do love my way of remembering it better than your way of forgetting it, okay? So here's Anna. Adam, A-N-A, Adam, Noah, Abraham. You know that story. Creation, flood, make a great nation, you know, of Adam, or pardon me, of Abraham. Now then, Anna, well, I thought you spelled Anna, A-N-A. And the first time I said that was back when you could say the word retarded. I think you cannot say that word anymore. Is that right? That's not a good word, but, you know, I moved down here 40 years ago, and the first time I said said what I'm about to say about and used the word retarded, but I said, I know you spell Anna, A-N-N-A, but if you're retarded, you can spell it A-N-A. Does anybody remember the wife of Steve Ellis? By any chance, you remember what her name was? It was Anna. Guess how Anna spelled her name? A-N-A. So I learned in a hurry not to say that. Say that in that way. So we've got Adam, Noah, Abraham. That's Anna. And then J-J. How are you going to remember Anna? Anna J-J. This Anna is from Sweden, and so she ends her names with double J, Anna Jaja, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph. That's Genesis. Now then, Moses covers Genesis 2,500 years. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy cover 120 years. So we got one book, Anna Jaja, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph, covering 2,500 years. And then you've got four books, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that cover 120 years. Why? Great transition has taken place. Moses is about to take that nation that has become a great nation because Joseph got them down to the land of Egypt, headed toward the promised land. And then Moses lives 120 years. When Moses dies, who takes his place? Well, that's Joshua. Moses leads them to the promised land. Joshua leads them into the promised land. Joshua is the one who conquered that promised land. Now, we're studying Judges for the next eight classes, studying the book of Judges. Where does it fit? It's after they get. So Joshua is the one who divides the land among all of those people. And so we got a map showing, if you'll go ahead and put up the next couple of slides, or maybe it is the next slide. Can change to the next slide, is that possible? Oh, and that's the one I'm looking for. That's the map of the promised land. And I doubt if you can read all the names of all those little colored specks all over there, but I hope you can see the Sea of Galilee, I hope you can see the Dead Sea. Can you see that? And so that's the land. Once they got to the promised land, that's where they settled. That's the land of Canaan. The Canaanite nations live there. And so whenever they arrive at that area, and you've got maps in the back of your Bible, if you I hope you have a Bible good enough to have maps in the back of it. I don't think the Pew Bibles have maps in the back, but this might help you to know where Egypt is and to know where Abraham came from it'll help you to outline the Bible looking at Bible maps. You may not have thought about that, but you can see approximately where Noah's Ark landed. You can see perhaps an idea of where the Garden of Eden is, though nobody knows either the location of either one of those. Bible geography. Now then, it is interesting that God told them, go into that land and destroy that nation. Destroy those nations that are there. We're going to come back at that, and because we're going to give an overview in the next several minutes, an overview of the entirety of of this land. So go ahead, go to that next slide, because the people were faithful to God all the days of Joshua. Open up your Bibles to the book of Joshua, and pardon me, and you'll see the transitional aspect of the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, that's chapter 1, verse 1, what happens? Moses dies, and Joshua takes over. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the God, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, I've got the New King James, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all of this people, to the land which I am giving them. You remember the threefold promise made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob? I'll make of you a great nation, and put that great nation where? It has the word great in it, in a great land. Someday I'm going to send a great Savior. So now God's ready, because now the nation numbers billions of people. There were 70 of them in the days of Joshua who went down into Egypt. Now, 400 years later, they come out, and they perhaps are 6 million of them. We know exactly how many men of war they had. The Bible tells us that number in the book of Numbers. And he says, I want you to take all of the people to the land that I am giving them. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. So if you've got a Bible map, think of the wilderness, where they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. I'm giving you this land from that wilderness all the way up to the great river, the river Euphrates. And so that's the introduction. Then he says, the river Euphrates and all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea. That's the Mediterranean Sea going down over toward the west where the sun sets. You're going to have every bit of this land. Far north is as the promised land goes, as I promised, from that river Euphrates, and as far south as that wilderness. You're going to have it every bit, and it'll be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I love the concept of I was. As I was, I will be. At the burning bush, what did God, who spoke out of the bush, how did he describe himself? I'm Jehovah. I'm the Lord. You know, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God does not change. His nature doesn't change. And so whenever he says to Joshua, I was with Moses and I will be with you. That's what we've got to learn about as we study the book of Judges. God is going to help them get that land. And it was his will for them to possess every bit of that land. Now then, the Bible says that as long as Joshua was alive, everything was great. They were faithful to God all the days of the life of Joshua. I'm reading from the book of Joshua. So I'm sorry, I need to get now to the book of Judges. After the death of Joshua, and now I'll get back to Judges chapter 1, that came to pass, the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who will be the first to go up against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah will go up first. Now then, these people are faithful to God all the days of Joshua's life. Look in Joshua chapter 2. Look in verse 7. This is where I thought it was. I thought this was in Genesis, in the book of Joshua. It's in the book of Judges. The people serve the Lord all the days of Joshua. All right? We've got them down in Egypt. Moses leads them out. 120 years that Moses' life is over. And all the days of the life of Joshua, the people serve the Lord. All the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. So Joshua is an old man when he dies. How long was Joshua in the wilderness? Well, he was in the wilderness for 40 years at least. But he was first mentioned as one of the spies that went out. And then there's that 40 years. And every one of Joshua's peers, even down to those who were 20 years younger than him, and all of those older than him, died in the wilderness. In that 40 years, every one of them died. And there's only two of the men who left Egypt, other than some Levites, there were only two of the men who left the land of Egypt who entered the promised land. It's Joshua and Caleb. So they get to the promised land. Now, Joshua, how old is he? I'm not sure. How old was he whenever he was chosen to be the general of the Jewish army when they crossed over the Red Sea? He may be 20. I mean, in the American Civil War, there were some young generals. And I know they didn't live as long back in biblical days, but some of them live longer than we live nowadays. But is he 30 years of age? Then is he 70 years of age when he gets in the promised land? When they get in that promised land, they're faithful for a long, long time. And then that generation dies. I want us to stop here long enough and talk about generations in the church. I've been here 40 years. Do you know how different this church is from the church that met 40 years ago over on 36th Street. You know how many men that were elders over there are elders today in the church? I was hired by 5 elders. It was Harold Keithley. Remember that name? A fellow by the name of Bill Ingram, Sr. He was one of the elders that when I came here. There was Joe Holland. He was an elder, Joe and Bill and trying to think of the other elder other than the old ancient elder we have. His name is Johnny Davis. I don't see Johnny sitting here this morning, so don't tell him how I described him. But I mean, he's the only elder we got. How many of the men that were deacons over there? When I got here, there was a generation before us. Gene McMasters, Don Spurlock, I'm going to say Milton Sewell, but I better not, you know, because what? Haywood, couldn't think of him. Haywood Milton, couldn't think of his name. All right, Haywood Milton. He was still here. What happened to that eldership? You know how many different elders I've served under? 18 different elders since I've been here. Not different elderships, but they come and go, and it always seemed like we always had a Joe Holland and a Johnny Davis and a Jerry Hopkins. Jerry was not an elder when I originally came down here, though I think he had been an elder before. He became an elder later. That generation's gone. That church does not exist. Jeff, how old were you? You worshiped on before 36th Street. You worshiped down on Olive Avenue. You remember when you were 6 years of age, what you and your brother Jim did? This is a classic story. You talking about it takes a village? There was a boy misbehaving in class. Jeff, what'd you and Jim do?
Well, we got behind the church sign and beat him up.
Isn't that a great story? Isn't that a part of the heritage of this church? That church doesn't exist anymore. How many of you were teens in the church? Raise your hand if you were teens in the church. Wow, there are not very many guys who were teens in this congregation. That goes way, way back. Tina, I'd forgotten you were a teenager in this church. That's amazing. What a treasure your mom was in this church. And what about those other godly women? We start talking about names. That generation's dead. Folks, this generation will be dead. It won't be talking about old brother Ray Duncan or old brother Bill Hatcher or old brother Dan Jenkins. It won't be talking about them anymore. But another generation hardly remembers those names. Here's the whole point. If this generation makes a mistake that Joshua's generation made of not teaching their children, the church is gone. In one generation. In the Bible we read, you shall teach these things diligently to your children. When you're walking by the way, when you rise up. You know who said that? If I tell you Moses said that, you're going to think that Moses said that at Mount Sinai. The words that I command you this day shall be in your heart, you know. Write them on your heart. Teach them diligently unto your children. Moses said that 1 month before he died. And he said it to Joshua's generation that he led into the promised land. That is how close Palm Beach Lakes is to extinction. How many of you know of congregations, even in this county, that no longer meet? Isn't that sad? And what a lesson that is, and how sobering it ought to be to us to make sure we do everything we can to encourage our young people in their faithfulness. Don't you dare neglect these young people that sit up here. You brag on them, and you encourage them, and you do everything you can to, instead of talking about, well, I don't think you ought to dress that way when you walk into this building, I'm glad you're in this building to try to learn about God. Now, do I approve of the way all of them dress? Nope. But they may not approve the way I dress either. I mean, they may not have the spiritual understanding that maybe I have, they do not have. But we're one generation from losing the church. And if that doesn't say to those who have children, and listen, and more especially to those who have grandchildren, I think I'm talking to another group of people, but I think I'm talking to the people sitting in these pews right now, those who are grandparents. That's how important it is. And so it says they were faithful to the Lord all that day. Now Joshua, the son of the servant of God, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him, and there's his burial place. Verse 10, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose that did not know the Lord, nor the works that he had done for Israel. It's curtains. It's the end of spirituality. And that is the book of Judges. Now, the other thing they failed to do is they failed to drive out those Canaanite nations. We'll look at that in just a minute, but the Lord said, when you get in that land, you don't let a single one of them survive. And when they turned against God, the judges, they were oppressed and were oppressed by these nations. These Canaanite nations that they did not destroy. The Lord said, okay, if you're not going to serve me in the land that flows with milk and honey, I'm taking it away from you. I'm going to give it to the nations that surround you. And that's the book of Judges. It is warfare of the most serious kind. These judges were not just people who sat and made judgments. They were leaders. They led the armies into battles. And so when you think about judges, don't think about Judge Judy. I'm serious. Don't think about, you know, any of the justices on the Supreme Court. This is a book about the people of God who have gone astray. And then he says, another generation arose, the rest of verse 10, after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done. Then, verse 11, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. What's Baal? It's an idol, isn't it? You know what the word Baal means? This is interesting. It means Lord. It means Lord. The Philistines, where evidently the Baals came from, you know, that particular idol, the word meant Lord. Now then, thou shalt serve the Lord God, and him only shall you serve. If a child grows up and here is the word Baal, that is known better than the word Jehovah when he reads that verse, what are you going to think? You see the importance of teaching your children? The Lord led them out of the land of Egypt. Who led them out? Baal? Oh, no. It wasn't Baal. But the word Baal means Lord. And so when they get in the promised land, and they talk to their children about the Lord, they may use a Hebrew word like Adonai or something like that. But what's that kid thinking? Every day of his life, who does he think about? Isn't that amazing? The Lord told him, when you get in the promised land, you destroy every idol and do not ever mention that idol by name. Isn't that amazing? That's not what they did. They came to the promised land. They left. When that generation dies, and that what that said, the children of Israel did that which was, they served the Baals, they forsook the Lord who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed the other gods from among gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. The Lord forsook them because they served Baal and Ashtoreth. That's male and female gods. And the Lord was against Israel, so he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers who despoiled them, sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand wherever they went. The hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hands of those who plundered. That's Judges. If you want a summation of the book of Judges, that's it right there. That's the summary of that. And he raised up judges. And the Lord, verse 18, was with the judge and delivered them out of the hands of their enemy. For the Lord was moved to the pity by the groanings because of those who oppressed him and harassed him. It came to pass when that judge died. Another generation. When that judge that he raised up died, what happened? They reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers. Isn't that remarkable? That's what happens. And if it's any lesson we've got to learn from the book of Judges, it's the destiny of Palm Beach Lakes. That's where we are as a congregation. Mission Sunday, work that we're doing, things that we're thankful for, I hope we're not filled with pride and relationship for, but the very things that we give thanksgiving for and the very love and the cordiality there is, it's gone. And so that's exactly what happened. How many judges were there? Well, there were 15 judges. 13 of them are mentioned in the book of Judges. The period of the judges lasts about 350 years or so. I've got to verse 2 Kings because it tells you precisely how long it was from the time they left the land of Egypt until Solomon sat on his throne. That's Judges chapter 6, or pardon me, 2 Kings chapter 6, 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 2. What about living in the land? They've been living in tents. They've been a nomadic people. They get into the land, and during this 350 years of judges, they become a nation. They're no longer little tiny villages of people. Isn't it remarkable? You study American history. Didn't American history, wasn't at one time a little villages? Isn't that amazing? We're no longer that. I mean, the House of Representatives was to send men from your little tiny village. He'd go to Washington, and he would represent you and your interests, everybody in your village, and try to vote things that were determined by that village and not by, whether he's an elephant or a donkey. You understand? That's what happens when you become a nation. God did not approve them of them to be that. Now then, I want us to look at the verses. Let's go to that next slide. Where in the book of Deuteronomy, right a month before Moses dies, here's his last words to the Jewish nation. Of the cities of those people which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, you shall let nothing that breathes remain alive. Well, God is mean. No. The book of Leviticus shows that they had, those nations had so filled that land with sin that they lost the right to live in that nation, just like he did in the days of Noah. He now does it to the Canaanite nation. And so he says, the cities of those people which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, you shall let nothing that breathes remain alive. You shall utterly destroy the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And old Brother Keeble used to say, and all those other ites. These are the nations that are there. Just as the Lord has commanded you. Why? If you don't do this, they will teach you to do according to all their abominations which they have done for their gods, and you sin against the Lord. Isn't that remarkable? You go back to the early chapters in chapter 1. Well, what happened? Look at that next slide. When they get to the promised land, a month later, really it took them about 7 years to get the land. So 10 years after Moses speaks these words, they're in that land. Manasseh, one of those tribes, remember the map? Did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth She'an and then a list of a whole other places. They put the Canaanites, generic word for those inhabitants in the land, they put them under tribute. You know, we can make money off these folks. The Lord's going to deliver them into our hands, and where we go, we're just going to tax them. What'd the Lord say? Don't you even let a single person that's breathing over there live. What about Ephraim? How did Ephraim do? Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt, and then a list of some places in verse 29. Look at verse 30. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants, and then a list of places. So the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute. We're just going to make them our slaves. We're going to make them our servants. We're going to make them pay us taxes. Nor did Asher drive out the inheritance, and especially the inheritance of Sidon. Remember Tyre and Sidon? Northern cities. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, and the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down in the villages. Dan is not a good tribe. I mean, they had no faith in God. So look at that next slide, and I've just got a list of verses. Those earlier verses in the first 19 verses of this chapter talks about the tribes that did drive them out. And it's interesting where they are, and Judah and Simeon. They drove them out, and isn't it amazing? When Solomon dies, where's the faithfulness found? They drove out the nations. Let's talk about the list of the judges. That's what we're going to be studying. Othniel, Ehud. Any idea who Othniel's father-in-law was? You know the name. Joshua and Caleb. Othniel's the first judge he raised. Who's that? That's Caleb's son-in-law. Anybody, when you think of Ehud, who do you think of? Left-handed. There's some left-handed people in the Bible that are so thankful, you know, that here's the only left-handed man we know in the Bible by name. And Shamgar, three verses devoted to Shamgar, three or four verses. Deborah, Oh, yes. We know Deborah. Finally, we recognize some judges. Deborah, remember her? We're going to talk about her. What about Gideon and his son Abimelech? So I want us, I don't think we'll be able to do it, don't have time to do it today. I want us to memorize the names, at least some of the judges, so they'll not be strange to us. And go ahead and put the rest of that slide up, because that's the name of the other judges. And you'll be seeing this slide again and again. Let me tell you how to look at the book of Judges. Think about a clock. Think about a clock and look at the clock of the judges. Where's 12 o'clock on that circle up there? If that's a clock over there, you see where 12 o'clock would be in your imagination? Instead of putting a 12 up there, let's put the word faithful. They're faithful to God. We've already discussed this, haven't we? Now we're trying to put it on a visual way of remembering. I'm a visual person, and this really helps me. You see 3 o'clock? You know where that is? They were faithful to God, but when that generation died, what was it? Well, I put the word not unfaithful, but idolatry. That's the book of Judges. As long as that judge is alive, they die. I mean, they're faithful, but not, maybe not as faithful in the heart as they ought to be. Because as soon as that judge dies, their devotion is more to that judge than it is to God. By the way, that's the danger of preacheritis. If the devotion to the church is to a Bill Hatcher, or to a Kerry Kane, or to a Dan Jenkins, or to a David Sproul, or to those elders. When they elders leave, the church leaves. Idolatry. 6 o'clock. See that on the clock? What'd they do? Well, the Lord sends the nations against them, and because of idolatry, and sometimes I put nations come, but I put there the word repentance. That's the key. Repentance of what? Idolatry. Why did they repent? God let those nations, the very nations they did not drive out. And then at 9 o'clock, they groaned out to God, and God raised up judges. Look at 9 o'clock. I've got the word deliverer. I've got the word judges. That's it. You memorize that clock, and generally you see it 13 times. In the book of Judges. Not this specific, not this graphic, but that's the outline of the book of Judges. One other comment, and I think we'll close the class with this comment. The Lord described those nations as thorns in the side of the Jews. Can you think of thorns in your side? Are thorns in your flesh in the New Testament. Paul said, lest I should be exalted because of the fact that I have received revelations from God greater than anybody else. The Lord sent me, and the reason we don't understand that passage is because we don't know the Old Testament usage of it. He sent me a thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. Thorn in the flesh. Somebody says he had bad eyesight. Do you know anybody that wears glasses that has problems with pride? You know anybody without glasses that has problems with pride? Yeah, I know a lot of them. Having bad eyesight doesn't keep you humble. And yet the thorn in Paul's side was sent to him to keep him humble. And he describes it as a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet me. Well, somebody says he had appendicitis. Thorn in the flesh. When you think of thorns in your side, what do you think of? Appendicitis. Where have you heard? I've heard, oh, that's where your appendix are. That's not what it was. Anybody know of anybody that's got an appendix scar that has problems with being humble? I do. I know somebody real close, okay? It was whatever he had was something that was sent to keep him from being puffed up because of the fact that he had received so many revelations. I want you to think about that next week when we start the class. Next week, we'll begin by just discussing that just very briefly, and then we'll go on and we'll start looking at Othniel and perhaps Ehud next week. Thank you very much.